Hello and welcome to React Native Radio, episode 108. I'm your host, Nader Davit. Today on our panel, we have Mike Grabowski from CallStack.
Hello, everyone.
We have Peter Pikarczyk, and I don't know, do you want to talk about the name of your company? I'm kind of not sure if you all are public or not about that yet.
We're starting to, so DraftBit.
Cool. So Peter has a new company called DraftBit. And today on our as our special guest, we have Christoph Magera of Software Mansion. Welcome to the podcast, Christoph.
Hey, thanks for inviting me. I'm a fan of this show and pleasure joining you for this episode.
Totally. In fact, we've been talking about some of your actual libraries on the show anyway, so it's cool to actually have you on here to talk about them yourself. So can you kind of introduce yourself and talk about what you do for work, I guess, and kind of how you work with React Native and your day-to-day work?
Yeah, sure. So I started my journey with React Native while working for Facebook and the London office. So like React Native was still like an internal project in an early phase. And I sort of became one of the first members of the React Native Android team. We started the project in the London office. And then we got to the point where we like managed to get like a parity with iOS. And that was sort of a moment in time when we released React Native to as an open source project and then released Android support a couple months later. And in 2015, I left Facebook, moved back to my home city in Krakow, where we currently have, so I currently am a partner in a company that we created with a couple of friends here. It's called Software Mansion. We now have around 50 people working on a variety of technologies. But like one of the biggest focus for us is React and React Native. We also have people that are working with media streaming services, things like that. So we do consulting, development services, you name it.
Amazing. I had no idea you worked with Facebook on the original React Native. That's cool.
Oh, yeah.
So where were you based out of? Were you based out of the London office?
While at Facebook, I work in London. Now we're in Krakow, Poland. So
Software Mansion is in Krakow and then,
yes, exactly.
Is that where we're going to talk about the conference later, but is that where the conference is going to be or is it going to be in Warsaw?
Yes. Oh, okay, it is going to be in Krakow. Yes.
Cool. I'm kind of curious. So moving from Facebook to like an independent consulting company, Software Mansion, it sounds like a big company actually. This is just off the top of my head. Is there like a big pay cut that you took there? Or do you is there a big difference in as far as like, you know, like how that's handled? I'm just kind of curious. It just seems like Facebook, being there like is like a really awesome position, but obviously Software Mansion must be really cool too for you to leave and go there.
I mean, it's sort of our own business. So, I have a lot of flexibility here as far as working hours. Whereas at like Facebook specifically working on React Native project, which is like became a really huge internally by the time I left, it was like kind of treated as an infrastructure project. So we had to support, a lot of projects that were not only in London, but also in the main office in Menlo Park. So,
it's kind of like you're working for yourself more, or you have more like control over your day to day.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, cool. That's awesome. So there is a few different libraries that we want to talk about that you've either worked with or you've created actually yourself. Do you want to talk about some of those projects and then we can kind of dive into each of them maybe?
So after I left Facebook, we sort of started working a lot with Expo, and it's one of our clients now at Software Mansion. We have a couple of people working on Expo SDK and then also on the on some of their backend services. So one of the first projects I started after leaving Facebook that was like related to React Native ecosystem was the support for the native driver for animations. So most of the stuff that I've been working on was focusing on animations and then like interactions with those animations, and in particular, and like bringing them to native thread, which would provide you with like a very smooth ways of doing that without being interrupted by like things happening on the JS thread. So the first project was the native driver for me. And after that, I started working on this library that's called Gesture Handler. It just like recently hit like 1.2K stars on GitHub. So it's a pretty popular project. We have a lot of installs. It's also a part of Expo SDK now. And then the next one that I announced on this year's React Europe was the library that's called Reanimated, which is sort of a replacement, aims to be a replacement for the original animated library. And now recently on React Native EU, I announced the project that's called React Native Screens, which sort of brings a set of native primitives to be used by the navigation solutions that are built on JS only.
So can you tell us a little bit about why you've been recreating some of the libraries that already exist? We have animated already, but you know, there were things about reanimated, you know, that folks didn't like. You know, we had a gesture system, you know, for React Native, but you've created React Native Gesture Handler. Can you talk about like some of the reasons why folks should use these libraries instead of the current ones they may already be used to?
Yeah, sure. That's a great question. So, like main sort of reason why I decided to actually like go this path and like work on all these projects was to like make it so that like when building React Native apps, you could have the same performance as you would have while building it in platform native language, Objective-C or and Java or Swift, whatever. So the first problem, as I described earlier, was with the with animations that like in the first version of React Native were driven from the JavaScript, which means that like every single frame, there was a piece of JavaScript code that needed to execute and then update the value or the properties or what needs to happen on the screen in this particular frame. But then since we only have one JavaScript frame and it also is responsible for many things like just rendering the content or fetching data from the internet or processing the data, storing this in local storage and stuff like that. So there are moments in which the JavaScript thread is pretty busy with stuff and it doesn't have enough time to calculate animation updates, which was causing the animation to stutter. So this was like particularly important in with respect to navigation, because like when we open new screen, we want the screen to animate in. And this is also a time where actually JavaScript has a lot stuff to process because we are opening new screens, so there is no new content that needs to be rendered. There are new requests that we might be like starting to fetch the data for that screen and stuff like that. So while opening the screen, that was like especially important that we actually needed to have those animations to be very performant. So the idea was that instead of using that JS thread, we could use the animated library that was already like built around this concept of like declarative way of defining how those like interactions should look like when defining the animations. So moving that to UI thread helped a lot. So we were able to actually like slide in those screens and animating only in native, even when the JavaScript was sort of lagging behind. And then so the next project that was Gesture Handler was kind of there to solve this problem of like swiping back, because there was essentially very similar issue with swiping back. We wanted to be able to so when you know when on iOS you have this like slide from the edge to go back on a stack, right? So when that was happening, we actually were suffering from the same issue. So the events that the app has to process, they need to actually go to JavaScript where we have this pan responder system, and only then they can be like sort of processed and analyzed, and like we can tell what needs to update on screen. So there was like very similar problem, but because of the pan responder system that's been written fully in JS, there were like a lot of things, a lot of information that were that was missing in native. So for example, the whole logic of negotiating which views can handle that particular touch stream. So this, that was all written in JavaScript, so it was difficult to sort of get imported. But on the other hand, we already have, like iOS had this great system that is called the UI gesture recognizer system. And that's what I decided to sort of expose to the JavaScript. So now you can, with gesture handler, you can essentially control that UI gesture recognizer system, and just use use directly that. So that's something you would actually use when writing the app in Swift native code or in Objective-C. With gesture handler, you have full control of over that. That was one reason that we wanted to have like the performant way of handling gesture events. But on the so another reason for gesture handler to be made was that we wanted to make the to actually like make it possible to control interactions between other native views that already exist and were exposed to React Native, so we could use them from React Native, but you just didn't have enough control over like how they interact with gestures. So for example, we have a scroll view component, right? And you can interact with scroll view with your fingers. So there is some gesture recognition that is done by the scroll view, but it wasn't using the pan responder, of course. So we don't have like the pan responder doesn't handle the scrolling gestures and doesn't tell the scroll view like which position it should scroll to, because that would be like just very slow. And so React Native apps are already using native gestures. This just makes it so that they can use native gestures for other things as well. So not only scrolling, but also like anything that you actually want to implement, like drag and drop, you name it. I was leading to the reanimated now, because the last problem that we had when we have gesture handler, we have native animations, and we wanted to build this simple component where you, like for example, with drawer that you can slide in from the left and then release it, or swipeable rows, things like that. So when you when trying to build that, you can use gesture handler with that, and you can use native driver animations. And so whenever you start like pulling the view or the drawer from the left, you can animate it like smoothly with skipping JavaScript thread at all. So everything happens in native, you can animate it, and it's very smooth and like interactive. And then when you release the finger, it will like snap to the open position or to the closed position. And it can also like animate from that point to the opening point, and the animation can run in native using native driver. So that's also smooth. So the problem was with the moment of releasing, because when you release, we didn't actually have a way to declaratively tell like what should happen when you pull your finger up. So this is something that we would actually need to handle the gesture state event, like lifted the finger up, and then we needed to like call animated.timing, for example, to start the animation to the open position. So sort of like the reanimated has been built to allow for actually making this whole interaction be written in a declarative way, and also to make it so that this can be, that the whole interaction can actually execute in the UI thread. Because even so, we have the native driven panning, and we had native driven animating, the moment between like switching between pulling and animating, it always actually needed to execute some JavaScript code. And this, in order to make this interaction very smooth, that's something we didn't want it to. That's it.
That's awesome. That was a very amazing explanation. For myself personally, when I first started using gesture handler, I was wondering why there was like a flat list and a scroll view, like inside the list of components to import, you know. So I was always, you know, a little confused as to, like, should I use this flat list or should I use the one from React Native, you know?
Yeah, that could be quite confusing. So the reason why those components are exposed from the gesture handler is that with the gesture handler library, there is this API that allows you to define interactions between components that handles gesture recognition. And we currently have just two ways of defining those interactions. So we have a wait for property and then simultaneous handlers property. So simultaneous handlers allows you to like say that those two native recognizers, they are allowed to respond to the same stream of events, because otherwise, once one handler activates, it cancels all the other handlers that hasn't yet activated. And wait for means that a given handler cannot start handling the gesture until this other handler fails recognition. So when using those components from gesture handler for the scroll view and the list view, it actually exposes those additional properties that allows you for defining interactions. So if you want to have a horizontal scroll view inside of a vertical scroll view, you will need to set simultaneous handler attributes for those two scroll views to like respond to the same gesture if you want like scroll it both horizontally and vertically. Another example is with things that you have inside of the scroll view. You may want to like have a drag and drop kind of view that you can pull in and actually like if you want to make it so that you can start dragging it in the same direction the scroll view goes normally, then for this interaction to work, most of the time you want the scroll view to actually like wait until this handler fails activation, because you don't want to like, if someone starts pulling that view, you don't want the scroll view to take over, but you want to actually like let them pull a little bit, and then you want this pan to activate. So when using those wrapped scroll view and list view, you are able to use those extra attributes with them, but you can also use the normal scroll view and list view as long as you don't need to like define some more complex interactions between the scroll view component and other gesture handlers. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that is an absolutely amazing explanation. And I know that I will, and everybody else listening will know when to use what now. So thank you for that.
I wanted to ask, now that we are talking about the topic of gestures and different scroll views, recently I've been working on a very simple experience that was a model that you were able to swipe down to close it using the pan gesture that works in a vertical way. But I also had a scroll view inside that was obviously able to scroll vertically as well. And so I started first with the pan responder that is in React Native, so the JavaScript way of handling gestures. And obviously, I got a lot of issues. And I talked to Krzysztof actually whether one of his libraries could potentially fix this problem. And it turned out that there were race conditions between the gestures on the native side and the JavaScript. And so this interaction in particular, I was able to finish thanks to using the gesture handler. And so my question would be, can you, Krzysztof, think of any other sort of maybe complex or simple interactions that these libraries would potentially make possible? And I'm not just talking about the performance, which is obvious benefit, but maybe some other interactions that in the regular React Native way of doing things would be hard to do because of those race conditions.
Yeah, totally. So that's like the prime example is whenever you actually have a scroll view and some other gesture that is either like on the same sort of you wanted to pull on the same direction as the scroll against scroll, but also like in other directions, because like people have sloppy fingers, of course. And then even if they want to like pull it to the right side, they still like do a little bit of the motion vertically. So that might activate a scroll view. And yeah, like with pen responder, the recognition logic is done in JavaScript. Whereas for the scroll view, which is like a native component, it has a native gesture recognizer that runs on the UI thread. So you essentially have two sort of state machines running recognition code. They don't really know a lot about each other. And they sort of race based on the events they receive. Because like we can have pen responder, that would activate for like a very small sort of motion, and then scroll view has some default threshold for like how far you need to move your finger before it activates. So the example you mentioned with like a bottom sheet component, that's a very common one. We actually have an example in gesture handler repo with such a component. But I've seen other sort of examples of like the same sort of issue for example, we have a view pager when you can like swipe between multiple pages, and then but you also want to have a drawer at one of the at the last page, for example. So then like the drawer the gesture that would activate the drawer will be like sliding from the right edge. But that sliding from the right edge would also like activate the view pager. So that actually like when you have those two recognizers in JS and the native, that makes the recognition logic unreliable, because like depending on like how fast JavaScript is at the moment, it may recognize or may not recognize the gesture. That's it.
I know in my case where React Native Gesture Handler was really useful was for swipeable rows in a list. Where I wanted to recreate something like the Gmail inbox swiping, or like the Apple inbox swiping, where you can swipe and archive something and delete it. And also like Tinder swiping style cards, where you have got a stack of cards and you want to swipe one away and see the next one. React Native Gesture Handler was really, really useful for me with regards to that.
Yeah. So these are actually like instances of the exact same problem. So with the swipeable row implemented on the pen responder system, you always have like a little bit of a vertical motion when you like even when you slide it from left to right, which may actually make the scroll activate before the pen can activate. So gesture handler makes basically this logic finally reliable. Another common issue that people were reporting that gesture handler is fixing is related to map views, because map views also have their native recognition logic for panning the map. So when you want to have like a drawer that you can slide in from the left that opens on top of the map, that's exactly the same issue you have with that when implementing the drawer using pan responder system.
Sounds like there is a lot of issues and the gestures in React Native in general are sort of complex to get right. And I'm wondering if you can think of any resources in particular that you'd recommend our listeners to sort of check out. And I'm asking this question for a reason, because I know we chatted a week ago and you recommended me some great YouTube videos where you are talking about all these threads and you know, things related to that. So I was wondering if there is if we could potentially share that with the audience.
Yeah, of course. So one of my first talk when I mentioned gesture handler and some of those problems was from Reactive Conference in 2016. I don't remember the name of that talk, but there was another one just a few months later on React Amsterdam. I think that one actually have the biggest like number of sort of explaining the causes of why JavaScript thread sometimes makes the recognition logic unreliable. And And yeah, I think just those two talks are a great resource, but for just learning a bit about Gesture Handler, I can recommend the our documentation page. The link is on GitHub. So if you search for Gesture Handler, you will find the link to our docs page. We've recently revamped the documentation for in May, actually. There are a couple of examples. We have a section about buttons. So because Gesture Handler also provides you with replacement for things like touchables, for example, in React Native. That also, because like touchables under the hood actually rely on the pan responder system. So Gesture Handler also provides you with a replacement for that if you want to use our buttons. So there is a good section explaining that. As always, I recommend the examples folder and on GitHub. So there, everything that you can do with Gesture Handler is there. Or actually, you can do even a lot more, but a lot of different patterns are explained and showcased there.
Thank you. Thank you for that. So one last question regarding the Gesture Handler. So recently you tweeted it. A new example using, I guess, React Native Gesture Handler and Reanimated that was based on the React Native Interact Table project by Wix. The examples were sort of inspired by what they did. And so you presented your library as obviously a successor, I guess. And since the Interact Table library itself has more than 4,000 stars, I was wondering if you could quickly just give me an idea. What are the primary differences? And because I guess there are some fundamental design differences when it comes, to these two libraries.
Yeah, of course. So I don't actually aim to make that a replacement of Interactable. I love Interactable for like how for the approach they took when designing API. It's like really great API for many use cases. It is easy to learn, easy to understand, and obviously it just have very, very many benefits. One of it being the fact that it actually like runs the interactions in native. But when I created Reanimated, I think like on the previous episode, Eric Vincenzi was explaining some of the issues when writing Reanimated code. It actually like requires you kind of a different mindset because you almost like write in Lisp and not in JavaScript when defining all the reanimated nodes. So this makes it really difficult for people to learn and use Reanimated. For some use cases, it's quite easy to use, but then for more complicated ones, it requires a little bit of learning. So when I made Reanimated, I didn't actually want it to be used by everyone. I wanted like other people in the community to come up with abstractions, like higher level abstractions that would be built on top of Reanimated and maybe Gesture Handler as well. And then I thought that like Interactable is exactly a thing like that. It's like a high level abstraction for defining some interactions. So obviously you cannot really do all sorts of interactions with Interactable because, like, for example, this problem with the bottom sheet and the scroll view is something that this library doesn't really solve. So it cannot be used for every kind of interactions, but it really like covers a lot of different use cases. So since Interactable was like one of those examples of higher level abstraction on top of what you can do with gestures and gesture-based interactions, I kind of wanted to, it was like a sort of a challenge for me to like make, to implement this API on top of Reanimated and Gesture Handler. So this just shows like how powerful Reanimated abstraction is. It allows you to like build Interactable that runs all the interactions in native without actually writing any native code. And like another benefit of what I did is that it makes Interactable to be usable in Expo because obviously Interactable has some native modules that are not really included in the Expo SDK. And Reanimated and gesture handlers are. So given that, you can actually like start using Interactable in Expo now.
All right, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just saying thank you.
Yeah, I was going to say, you mentioned something about the library that includes its own set of buttons or touch handlers. So why would someone want to use those as opposed to using just the regular React Native like components that come with the library?
So this actually like comes down to like a very tiny detail, and I already talked a bit about like how gesture handlers allows you to define interactions between different elements that are responsible for handling gestures. So the library I was talking about was gesture handler. So it ships with like a replacement for touchables. So the tiny detail is actually that interaction between touchables and other native component, which is a scroll view. So whenever you have a list of items in a scroll view that you can like press, then if you use like touchable highlight, for example, the touchable actually activates like very quickly when you try to scroll through this list. So you actually can see this on many React Native apps that they don't really behave as a native the same way as native apps, because whenever you scroll and there are like highlighting items, they would actually like highlight for like a fraction of a second, and then it would allow you to scroll through the scroll view. So this actually is an example of interaction between like a button component and a scroll view. And here it's essentially the same problem, because you have touchable that uses pan responder, which means that it runs its recognition logic in JavaScript, and then you have a scroll view that has a UI thread based recognition logic, and they just both recognize at the same time sort of, and then like the scroll view cancels the touchable, and that's the reason why the touchable actually like highlights for a fraction of a second. And the way how it's solved in the native framework is that those buttons are actually aware of the fact that they're inside of a scrollable container, so they can wait for the scroll view to tell them they should activate. So there is like a small really unnoticeable delay when you open like an iOS settings app, when you like try to tap on the items there. So they won't actually like immediately highlight, but they will wait for to tell if you haven't actually started scrolling just yet. So those buttons that gesture handler ships with, they're actually capable of that. So they have this, they're interacting with scroll view in the right native way. So they wait for the scroll view for like a fraction of a second, and then if the scroll view, if you haven't started scrolling, then they only then they will highlight or activate or like show you the feedback.
That was a really good explanation. Thank you. I learned a lot right there. So I want to talk about React Native screens, but before we get there, so how do you find the time to build all of these awesome libraries and maintain them? Is it kind of part of your day-to-day job? And I guess another question that kind of is in the same vein is, do you also do client work as well?
So as Safra mentioned, we have a bunch of like a product sort of related work for our clients. We build React Native apps, but we also build native apps. And like the work that I do for Gesture Handler and Reanimated or Screens, so it's part of my daily job, sort of, because we as a company want to really contribute to open source, because we use React Native daily for many of our projects. But it also like makes so a lot of the stuff that I've built, we use like immediately after I built that, we started using this for some of our clients that really needed some of those features. So we like immediately after launching Gesture Handler, we started using it with like one or two clients because they needed some sort of interaction that wasn't possible to be built before. And the same with Reanimated and Screens, actually. So all of that work is sort of inspired by the problems our clients are facing. but we also build it with in cooperation with Expo. So some of those, actually all of those things were also like requested by Expo and needed by people who use Expo.
So are these projects available as part of the Expo SDK as well?
Yes, all the libraries that I mentioned today are included in Expo SDK already.
Nice, cool. Well, it seems like Poland has such a really high quality number of React Native companies, because CrawlStack is also, it's interesting that both of you all are both located in Poland, and you both are huge open source contributors and, you know, do similar stuff.
We should record an episode of React Native Radio in Polish sometime.
Yeah, and Peter's Polish, right? Is that right?
Yeah, my parents were born in Poland, but I was born in the U.S., but had to go to Polish school for 12 years, so I'm fluent.
Nice.
Yeah, the Polish episode would definitely work. We just need to teach you some Polish language. But if I'm not wrong, I mean, I could be wrong, but I have this feeling that you told me that you have some connections with Poland. Is that right, or I'm just, you know, missing something?
So my cousin is he's like the Jordanian ambassador to Poland or something like that, if I understand that right. But I don't know if I ever talked to you about that. But actually, I really like Poland. Like, every time I go there, I've only been there twice, but I mean, I really, really like it there. So I'm going to be back there twice this year. And, you know, one is going to be, well, actually not this year, but in the next 6 months, I'll be there twice. So I'm looking forward to it. And then hopefully I'll go back next year for React Native EU. But so do you want to talk about a little bit more? So you went over React Native Screens, I think, a little bit. So like, when would someone want to use React Native Screens versus not using it?
So the answer is actually quite simple. So you will want to use screens all the time as long as you're using JavaScript-based navigation solutions. So so like, for example, React Navigation, which already is sort of integrated with screens. So the only gotcha here is that the product is still sort of experimental phase. And so we explicitly ask you to opt into using screens. So we actually need to explicitly like run one method that will enable the support. But once we, once the library is stable, you won't actually need to interact with it at all. You won't even notice it's there. It's just going to be there and work for you.
Okay, cool. So essentially, you're mainly talking about React Navigation, or does this work with other navigation libraries as well that are JS?
Yeah, so we have it integrated with React Navigation specifically. I know that other solution, most of the other JS navigation solutions are actually based on React Navigation, so it would actually benefit them too. But things like, for example, React Native Navigation already like uses those native components because it actually like renders React apps inside of like a native UI navigation controller and things like that. So when you're using React Native Navigation by Wix, this will not give you like as many benefits. I mean, actually no benefits at all, because React Native Navigation already has sort of ways of solving the problem that screens is aiming to solve. But then, like for things like if you say want to build a view pager component that allows you to like page between different views, but also kept those views in memory for some reason because you want to be able to swipe back to them, for example. And if you want to use that component inside of the React Native Navigation, then this component could use screen, for example. So this works well with all the other navigation libraries. It's just not yet integrated with some.
So for folks who are consumers of React Navigation with the JavaScript version now, are we going to see a big difference in our apps when React Native Screens is going to be turned on by default?
Yeah. So what you should see, you should see like a lot, a huge difference in the memory consumption for your apps. And that would also like impact better performance overall because of the lower memory usage, especially on like low-end Android phones.
That's awesome. Are bundled apps going to be any smaller, or is that going to have no difference?
No, it should have no difference. So it actually like adds a little bit of code here and there. So the bundle will be likely slightly bigger, but it's just like one JavaScript file that is like maybe 200 lines long. So it's not like a lot of code that's going to be added.
Oh, okay, cool. I mean, it's a mobile app anyway, right? So
yeah.
A little bit of a bigger bundle size hasn't really stopped anybody. You know, what's the Facebook app? Like 200 megabytes or something, right? So,
oh, yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about how React Native Screens works under the hood?
Yeah, of course. So the idea behind screens is that when you have like a JavaScript-based solution for navigation and you have a navigation stack, for example, what happens is that each screen that you push in to the navigator, it stays mounted on the React from the React perspective, right? So it stays mounted because you want the whole state of the screen to be kept, regardless if it's like a scroll position or maybe you set something in the component state. You want it to be there because when you slide back to the previous screen, you want it to be in the same state you left it from. So what happens under the hood, you have like a view that is a container for all the screens that you render. So they're like sort of render on top of each other, which is actually not how navigation works in native, because in native, you also sort of keep the elements that are responsible for rendering those screens, but they're actually detached from the view hierarchy. And what screens does, it actually brings a native primitives that allows you to control like which elements are attached and which are detached from the view hierarchy. So with screens, you can make it so that when you push a new screen, then for a moment of the transition, you have both sort of screens attached to the view hierarchy because they need to display on top of each other when animated. But then once the animation is over, you can detach the previous screen from the view hierarchy. And detaching actually helps a lot with performance because the code that is then responsible for rendering rendering those views that are not visible doesn't need to execute. There is this concept of rendering of render lists, which are essentially a list of like GPU commands that needs to be executed to draw a screen. So they're gone from memory. And also some of the native views, like for example a image view or a map view, they also like sort of can handle the event of being detached. So they can handle it to save some resources. So like, for example, when you have a view that displays a preview from the camera and it's like constantly getting a video stream from the camera and displaying it on the surface, when it's hidden, it's detached from the window, it just stops the session. So it's no longer it no longer consumes the resources for streaming the video stream from the camera to the view. And it's the same with images, for example, because the image view may store like the encoded and decoded version of bitmap. It can release some of those resources when it's detached. So essentially, by using those primitives, you have control over which views are unmounted or mounted in the native view hierarchy. So this doesn't have anything in common with the React component lifecycle, because from the React perspective, they're always mounted, but we can unmount them from the native view hierarchy, which saves the resources. Does that explain enough?
The topic? Yeah. I mean, it's kind of, it's very interesting to hear. Like, how did you, how did you come up with the solution? Is it something, and why did you come up with the solution? Is it because of the memory consumption of like a traditional JavaScript based navigation?
It was always like that. So whenever, I was to like select a navigation solution, I always like consider Wix's React Native navigation and then React Navigation. So they both have their benefits. The big benefit of the React navigation is that it's like really customizable. So you can like set almost any possible property. You can render your own navbar if you wanna and make it transition nicely. So it's like really good for most of the cases, because you always have designers come up with something that is non-standard and doesn't fit in the way you can customize the iOS native navigator or the Android native. So always I would struggle with like selecting right solution. But then the biggest benefit of the React Native navigation was that it really like performs better. I mean, it still performs better. But actually with screens, the difference is like much less noticeable. So I wanted to like check why actually like there is this still this this difference in as far as performance between React Native navigation and React Navigation. And that's how I come up with this idea of actually adapting native containers to be used for React Navigation.
So how well do you have to understand the native platforms to build something like this? You sound like you have very good knowledge of both native iOS and native Android and JavaScript.
Yeah, so that was actually one of the reasons why I've been sort of selected for, consider to join actually React Native project while still at Facebook. I actually have previous experience with both Android and iOS, so I knew. So I was actually like a mobile developer back in the times. So I knew a lot about like building apps for Android native and iOS native, that's essentially the reason why I was like considered to be a part of React Native team member. And also like explains a lot about like how I came up with all those projects. So like whenever I try to do something in React Native and it doesn't perform well, or it's maybe not possible to do something in React Native, I just like think of how would I build that in native? How would I build that if I was doing it in Android Native and in iOS Native? Because lots of those problems aren't like very specific to React Native. And there are like problems on the native platforms too, and there are solutions on the native platforms too. We just need to learn how to, or actually find a way to use those native solutions.
Yeah, that is amazing. It's awesome to have someone like you as part of the React Native community contributing back. It's really cool to have people that have this much fundamental native knowledge. It's really interesting to hear.
So I remember when I saw one of the very first commits, and I was just trying to get an understanding how does the animated library itself work, because there was little or no documentation at all, and the only way to understand the way it was working was to actually go ahead and check the code. And so I was, and also at that time I was working on the changelog for React Native, and I was constantly impressed by the amount of weird and wizardy commits that Krzysztof was making in order to make animated work. You know, great job with animated, and sort of following to what Nader said, I think, you know, it's a very important contribution to the ecosystem, and I feel like without these libraries we would be nowhere near to where we are right now as far as the experience. So thank you for working on them once again.
Thanks.
Okay, cool. So I guess we'll go ahead and get to the picks. Mike, do you have any picks today?
So my pick will be the React Native community GitHub organization. It's something that I've been recently talking about quite a lot. There is a repo there called Discussions and Proposals. And if you are interested in sort of taking part in React Native development, make sure to check out the pull requests section, where we have pending proposals. that describe particular features of React Native that are either rewritten, moved out of the core, or new features that Facebook is about to land. So please check them out and leave your feedback.
Christoph, do you have any picks?
Yeah, I have two picks. So the first one is the thing that we at Software Mention worked on a while ago, and now we're sort of restarting the work again. And the repo is called Android JSC Build Scripts. So not a lot of people are aware of that, and it's actually like makes the React Native Android apps like a lot faster. So this is essentially a allows you to replace the JavaScript virtual machine that ships by default with React Native, which is so the one that ships by default is like really outdated. It's from like 2014 or something. So this actually allows you to swap this out with the new builds that we've prepared. So you actually get the most recent version of the Android of the JavaScript core virtual machine thanks to that. And there are also things you can use thanks to that, like the proxies, for example, in JavaScript. So this is not something that works in the old version of the JSC. So that's my first pick. I recommend the repo is called Android JSC Build Scripts. It's actually, we migrated it to React Community recently. And the second pick is a conference that my company is organizing together with Expo. It's called App.js Conf. It's happening in April next year. Yeah, we wanted to invite everyone who is interested in the React Native Expo to join us here in Poland. Nader is coming. Peter is also coming. I hope Mike is also going to be here for April. So yeah, check out the website is appjs.co. And yeah, that's it.
But yeah, that does sound, that sounds awesome. I'm looking forward to that conference. So my pick is, there's these things that we do at AWS called the AWS Loft. So I think I may have mentioned this once, but we have lofts in New York, San Francisco, but we also have some in other parts of the world too. So we're going to be doing a loft in Stockholm, Stockholm, Sweden on November 6th is when I'll be there, but it's actually running from October 15th until November 9th. And basically what the loft is, it's basically a open place for you to come and do like work. So you can go there and just use it as kind of like a co-working space. But we give these free presentations. It's almost like a conference, and you can come there and get the presentations, you know, that you'd like to see. You can kind of choose which ones you'd like. We have food and coffee and all that stuff that you'd see at a typical conference. So they're pretty cool. The one in San Francisco and the one in New York, if you have a AWS account, you can like go in there for free at any time, even when we're not doing a session. But the ones in the other parts of the world, I'm not really sure the details there. But you can go to, you can just Google AWS Loft and Stockholm, and you can get the info there. So I think that wraps up our episode. So Christoph, thanks for coming on the show today with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to definitely try to have you back on too to maybe talk about another subject about, you know, Faber and just the future of how React Native is going to be coming along. So, okay,
thanks.
Well, that wraps up this episode of React Native Radio. Thank you for listening, and we'll see everyone next week.